Good afternoon and welcome back to Podcast Talk, where the topics we discuss are real. Now, my name is Jada, if it is your first time listening to this podcast, and on my podcast channel, we just talk about court cases, what happened in these court cases, what decisions were made, opinions, facts, things like that. Now, let's get into today's topic. So, today's topic, we will be talking about an infamous court case known as the Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer. So let's just jump right into it and let's discuss how did this incident even happen and how did it start. The year was 1952 when workers started to clash with, you know, the workplace and their managers, steel workplaces. Higher wage was demanded by the co-workers, therefore a good amount of the U.S. steel workers threatened to do a strike. Because the Korean War was taking place at the time, President Truman felt like he couldn't risk a halt in production for steel. Because soldiers and things like that in the Korean War needed steel for weapons and things like that. So let's just discuss why the government has such a big dependence on the steel company. At the time, since the government had brought the U.S. into the Korean War, the government had to rely on defense contractors that in return relied on the steel industry. Truman created a wage stabilization board that was designed to minimize labor disputes while curbing the inflation of prices and wages. This is actually what made steelworkers plan to launch a nationwide strike across all of the major steel producers based on the industry's reluctance to grant wages increase without an increase in prices by the government. So the president had issued an executive order, which was known as 10-30-40, which directed Sawyer, the defendant in this case, to operate most of the nation's steel mills, meaning he has now control over all steel mills, work industries, including Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company, which was a private steel workplace. So Truman could not risk losing the war, so he needed to do his best to provide weapons, as he stated in this clip.
With American troops facing the enemy on the field of battle, I would not be living up to my oath of office if I failed to do whatever is required to provide them with weapons and ammunition they need for their survival. Therefore, I am taking two actions. First, I am directing the Secretary of Commerce to take possession of the steel mills.
Now, let's talk about how this got into the court's hands. This began when petitioners began to apply for an injunction. Injunction. The U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia granted this injunction, meaning that the government or President Truman did not or does not have the power to seize the steel mills for their own personal reasoning. When this was announced, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia stated that the injunction stayed, meaning the government or President Truman does have permission to keep control of the steel mill companies until the U.S. Supreme Court reviews the case. Now, we're really going to actually get into this case and when it moves into the courtroom. The Supreme Court declared three reasons on why Truman's action was unconstitutional or unlawful. Reason one being that no congressional statute authorized the president to take possession of private property. The second reason being that the military power as commander-in-chief of the armed forces does not extend to labor disputes, and number three being that the president's power to see that the laws are faithfully executed refutes the idea that he is to be a lawmaker. In more simpler terms, the president is not allowed to make laws. Now, the dissent in this case believed because there was a national emergency, which being it was the Korean War, this actually gave permission to the president to take control of the steel mill companies. He also stated that Congress had a chance to respond to this act, but they never did. Now, the court stated that the president did not have the authority to issue this order. The court decided that there was no congressional statute that authorized the president to take possession of the private property, and that his military power at the time did not extend to labor disputes. Now, in conclusion to this case, the decision was 6-3, being that the president lacks constitutional authority to seize and operate the steel mills. This case had an impact on the executive branch because the Supreme Court narrowed the president's powers as commander-in-chief because it would be considered unconstitutional if this law or act was continued. Thank you for tuning in to another week of Podcast Talk, and thanks for listening to this week's discussion. We will discuss another court case next week.